So where did they sell it? They don't sell it. You have to go and milk a lioness. You have to go and milk the lioness. Let's make a long story short. One day the woman reappeared, having milked a lioness, and gave the jazzman the thing. So the man said, how did you get it? Ah, he said, Baba, it wasn't easy, but it was easy. What I did was that I made, describe one kind of concoction she made that had honey, meat, all those kind of things in it. And I went into the bush, located where one lioness that had cubs, all right, used to rest. And then one afternoon, I tossed one small one for it. He ate it. And then I moved closer. Let's make a long story short. I was very patient too. There was no hurry. Because if the lioness vexed, now they whack you. So, you know, the woman described the whole process. And gently, while the lioness was licking the thing I made for it, and then I just gently stretched my hand down, just quickly milked her a bit while the cubs were sucking on the side, and then sneaked away. He said, you have the patience to handle the lioness. Go back home, use that same patience with your husband, and you will see what we are talking about. You see what I'm saying? It was not the jazz, you know? There was no juju. It was what? The trick. Let's get back to the girls who snatch other people's husbands. It is not, there's nothing, there's no, there is, listen to me, there's no jazz in it. How do they do it? Check it. The man has been married for 18 years, 20 years. When he goes home, welcome. Junior was crying that they drove him away from school. Because, you know, yesterday you did not repair the tire of my car. When I was going out today, the tire just burst on the road. By the way, the roof of the house is still leaking. Wait, landlord called yesterday. Oh. But when he goes to the Okpeke's house, chief, have you come? Please sit down. How was your day? Should I help you remove your jacket? You need to be a man of God not to go back there. You have to be a man of God. That is, you have to be confessing, I have made a covenant with my eyes. How much? You'll be confessing. There's no complaint. Will you eat? Hey, chief, you're losing weight. Oh. Sit down. There's one spare. Chief, sit down. You go and bring food. Next. He said, how was work today? You. They were arguing with you in the office. Chief, if, big man like you, if I were you, I would sack them. Chief, how can anybody talk to you like that? The man is feeling like he, you know, like King David. Yes. He doesn't say anything about it though. Anytime he has spare time, instead of going home, he go branch. Angela, how are you? Chief, there's no problem. Is there anything you will need? Yes, so. You know, last time I was going out, you know. Is it a car? No problem. Take this, my own, be driving first. I will take Okada, whether Sullivan bans it or not. Why? Because somebody spoke sound words. Words are very powerful. Go and read the scriptures. He said, like cold water is to a weary soul. So is good news. That is words. Are you getting my point? Words. Very, very important. In summary, the openest way, please, pardon that my English, the clearest way, the most effective way for the heart of a man, not be the stomach, is not the stomach at all. Trust me. I'm a man. I've been married for a while. And I know these guys, they're all the same. It's only when they are still starving, you know, when they are in university. That's when food affects them. Once my boss settled down, food no they work. What works, believe me, number one, is the way you talk to a man. Sometimes I see ladies, you know, not, just by the way, hey, I'm stuck on this marriage matter. But we'll just continue talking. God. Sometimes I see a woman talking to her husband. Excuse me. Hey, my body go cash cold. You're talking to your husband. I beg, excuse me. Jesus Christ. And you want to be blessed. Okay, you're on your own. There are things you don't do. What annoys me most when I see young women, where they pay me for their body. Maybe they meet the guy. Assume now, he's Pastor Banky. And he's single. Thank God I'm married, all right? But assume Pastor Banky is single. Good afternoon, sir. Yesterday, we are such a blessing, sir. Toast the girl first. Toast them first. Once relationship starts, Oh boy, Hannah. Alpha, wait until your judge like just you poke the guy recklessly. This was a man who yesterday, when he was still, you understand my point? It was still respect. Good afternoon, sir. And you don't understand. I was, you know, after I finished writing that book, should I say yes? I was analyzing that issue when he said that Sarah called her husband Lord. After writing the book was when the final understanding of what she said got to me one day. I was discussing with my wife that what in the book I tried to describe the proper words to use that corresponds with Lord. Do you know the words today? Is sir. I was thinking about it. Finally, it hit me. Now, when I enter into my office, as an example now, I walk in. As I'm walking down the corridor, good afternoon, sir. You're welcome, sir. Good morning, sir. Good morning, sir. Good morning, sir. Good morning, sir. I have a message for you, sir. Everybody running up and down, you know, because I'm the head of the department. So everybody is there. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. The Bible said when Sarah came in too, she got to her husband's office and said, my chief, good afternoon, sir. It was so striking, they wrote it down. It was so striking. But what do we do these days? Once nakedness enter, oh, party. Waiting, I never see. Claire, my friend. Not before your office, they tell you, sir, for here, oh boy, we are one. The Bible said the two shall become one flesh. They misquote scripture recklessly. There was one true story that happened in somewhere in Western Nigeria. Those the kingdoms, those Yoruba kingdoms of those days. I think the Alaafin of Oyo. Yes, was Alaafin. One day, one of his wives was giving him a bath, and he was not a big guy; he was a smallish fellow, you know. So, but it was the, you know, the king, you know, Oba, you know, they had. You know, those of you from here, you don't understand what they call traditional ruler. Go to the West, you'll understand. You don't greet him by a bow; you stretch fully on the ground. The name Kabiesi is short for Kabiosi. That is, there is no questioning you. They call him Igbakeji Orisha. That is the next in command to the gods. No, it's not a joke. No, if you grew up in Igbo land, you don't know what they call traditional ruler. Because one man is rich, they make him Igwe of an autonomous community. So you don't understand. Come there, you know what they call traditional ruler. That is MK Obiola, with all his wealth, we get into the palace, he has to go on the floor. So this woman, anyway, and these were the days when they were the ones really in power. So he was basing the king. He said, oh, God, so this is the whole of you. The man said, what did you say? He said, everybody will just fear you. They will just fear you. They will just fear you. Not be you, be this. The man said, wait, what are you talking about? He said, he said, you big fast like this, my husband. Now the whole of you be this now. Everybody goes to fear. Why do they fear you like that, sir? The man said, He got up, dressed up, called his head, you know, the commander of the brigade of guards, that he should go and bring her father's head. True story. Called his guard, said, go to my wife's father's house, behead him, put the head on a plate, and come and give the daughter. Then she will understand why everybody fears me. The woman was running her task helter. The guys went there, brought the man out, caught his head, put it on a bag, and gave it to the girl. This is why everybody fears him. That his size, don't be deceived. It is where the word of the king is. That's where power is. The Lord is good. So bonding with the Lord has turned to something else today now. We'll finish our message. No, really. That's the mistake I see a lot of women now make. The honor and respect they had for the man before, it disappears once the intimacy enters into now husband and wife matter. No, it's not right. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. I went into all of that trying to explain the issue of words in the ears of a man. And don't forget the relationship we have with God is what we are talking about. That's what we are talking about. And so what do? When we come to pray, it's not just about uttering all our complaints. Let me get back to that. There are times we just settle down, and all you do is just tell God what he is to you. First, what he is generally, and then what he is to you. And believe me, he wants to hear it. Whether he needs it or not is besides the point. In fact, this is one thing I'm sure of. It magnifies him in your eyes. I want to talk about magnifying God in your eyes and then in your mind, in your heart. It's not just about, sometimes it's not even a conscious thing. It's how everything diminishes, all right, in the light of him that we are talking about. That you wake up in the morning and you bow your head and say, Lord, I want to thank you because you are so good. You are my provider. You are my keeper. You are my helper. You are the one that died and rose again that I may be saved. My life is in your hands. Without you, I can do nothing. Your spirit dwells inside me, and that's the reason why I can do anything at all. You're just talking and talking. You finish saying that for a few minutes, 30 minutes, 1 hour, whatever, because sometimes an unction comes upon you and you can't leave the place, you continue saying it. Then you leave the place, you come outside. As an example, a car, you cross the road without looking, and the car almost knocks you down. You just look at the car and say, oh, sorry. But in your mind, I say, no, I am preserved by the power of my God. I don't know. Yeah, you get my point? Then you come and you take newspaper and say, ah, did you hear? Some people, their vehicle fell into the river, or a flood came at night in Russia and drowned 170 people overnight. Yeah, hey, now wow. It was a man, didn't it? Some man could just drown, no. For you, it would happen. It will not know because you just said it in the morning. You understand? That your life is in his hands. You spoke it to God. You know, listen, there's something about intimacy, you know. It's you know, God doesn't always, Christian said that when you talk like that, God will talk back to you. Maybe he does, all right? Maybe he does, all right? But the scripture didn't promise that he will. But one thing is sure, his spirit flows into you. That one I'm certain of. His confidence flows into you. It does. That one I'm sure of. It does. Suddenly you find out that you're not afraid. Even though you should be afraid. That's what the Bible calls the peace of God that passes all understanding. You know what it means of all understanding? It doesn't make sense even if you don't understand it. Are you getting my point? That is, it's not only even you don't understand. Why am I not worried? I remember the story I heard from one preacher. I think it was Kenneth Hagin that was telling the story of one woman during the Second World War. They were looking for her. They thought she had died at home. But then when they saw her on the streets, ah, we don't see you in the bomb shelters. And when the siren goes off, bomb raids. He said, oh, I read my Bible one day. They said, he that keeps it is another sleep nor slumber. So I said, why should two of us keep awake? So if that siren goes off at night, I'm sorry, I don't wake up at night. Why? Because the Lord is awake. So the time I'm supposed to sleep, why struggle with him to keep awake? That is not you don't do such things deliberately. Make up your mind. No, I will not wake up. I will not. When siren blow hard in your ears, oh boy, you go wake up. It's when peace grabs your soul, you understand, and sends you off to sleep. You know, just to illustrate, you know, just to make you laugh a bit. You know, at home, you know, if you're a man, a woman, you have a home, you have children and all that, you don't generally sleep through the night. You know, you get up, you just check on the kids, you know, stuff like that. So I noticed something, that if my wife and I are at home, she never gets up to check on anybody. If I hear buru, rain, thunder, light for night, I wake up like this. Let me go and check. My wife will just turn and continue sleeping. And I used to wonder, what is wrong with you? Won't you even go and check? Then later on, I found out what really happens. If I'm not at home, she gets up. She wakes up. She goes to peep. But once she looks at it, my boy is there. I'm like, let me continue sleeping. And when I get up, it's proof. And it's an unconscious thing, not a deliberate thing. Well, if I do get up, it's proof that I don't have to get up. Come on, what is it? How you just sleep through and through like that? You know, even they check anything. What she's saying, in fact, is that why should I check anything? You're not there checking everything. No, you can check for two of us. Are you getting my point? What I want to emphasize from that is that I realize that it's not a conscious thing. It's unconscious. Somebody else is taking charge of it. Do you get my point? Somebody else is taking charge of it. So when the Spirit of God enters, that's what it does. I said, look, listen, Christianity is not methods. Six principles of staying at peace. Put off the light. Say it five times, I'm at peace, I'm at peace, I'm at peace. That's yoga. Amen? That's not Christianity. No, that is not Christianity. Christianity, you just discover that you are asleep. I don't know what the hell I'm saying. The sleep will just sleep you. You understand what I'm saying? You will just sleep. You will just sleep. And that's what I try to teach to people. It's not just about methods. Like, give this 2 naira, then it will become 20 naira. Then you give the 20 naira, it will become 400 naira. Then when you give it 400 naira, you want it to become 40,000. Then when they give it 40,000, you're a millionaire. Now, the person doing it has not been converted into a giver. Are you getting my point? So everything is an effort. That's not Christianity. No. The spirit has not yet entered that fellow. It hasn't. Like I was saying on Saturday, what we do, we just imbibe the word of God and that word transforms us. That's what I was trying to say. Now, back to what I'm saying. So you see, it's not every time we just sit down and say, okay, I want to pray. So let us praise God now so that we can continue and ask him for what we want. Let us praise him now so that today will be a good day. There's no so that in it. Do you understand what I'm saying? There's no so that in it. The praise, like we read here, he said, my heart overflows with a good thing. It's what you have been thinking of that overflows in from your heart. Are you getting my point? It's not just about trying to do something so as to get something. It's what you have been meditating upon. That's why, listen, there's no way you can live the Christian life without feeding on the word of God. No, there's no way. Listen, there's no way. Let's talk about this praise matter. My heart overflows. Do you know what it means for something to overflow? It's because something has been poured into it until the thing is overflowing. The only thing that makes your heart overflow into songs for God is that his word, all right, has been entering into your heart. There is no way you will understand what God is or who he is except you have been taught his word. There's no other way. First, the word comes, and then experiences in life drills them into you. That's the way it works. You go and see, God called Abraham. That was the word. But for him to fully understand what was being spoken about, experiences in life drummed them into him. That's why if anything he goes through something, he will come out of there and build an altar. You know what it means to build an altar? It's to express that part of God that he's just discovered. Are you following what I'm going to explain? My heart overflows with a good thing. So you've heard the word of God, you wake up in the morning. It's not just, in fact, you can take a whole week. I'm not even asking God for anything. Let me just tell him what he is to me. That's why I laid that emphasis. That's why I was speaking. That, look, you tell a man, now, back to husband-wife relationship now. You tell your husband that he's a good man. You know what happens? He becomes good as steel. That word is my word. Amen? You know, I invent words once in a while. In fact, something happened. This might make you laugh. Now, God doesn't react like this, but it's just this, what they call, Pastor Chris used to call anthropopathism. So let's use it to explain God, you know, human beings. Just use it. But God is not exactly like this, just that something close to it. There's a class of students, I just concluded their lectures yesterday. And they used to, I needed a lot of patience to handle them. So I used to be quite harsh. I had a rule, if I get to the class before you, don't enter. That rule was based on the fact that I had to drive some distance to get to class. Their hostel is just behind the class. So I said, why should I get to class before you? Do you understand? I'll come to class on time. Come on. Then if I give you an assignment, it's university. I teach fourth year, all right, medical students. If I give you an assignment and you don't do it, I walk you out of the class because it's a small class, relatively small, about 40 students. So, where's my assignment? If you haven't done it, go back to your hostel and go and finish my assignment. That's how I do it. I was quite tough. Let's make long story short. I finished my lectures yesterday. So I told them that, look, you won't see me again until the day of your oral exams. So the class captain got up to speak before I left. And the guys, first he wanted to thank me. That's not, I teach there part-time. That's not my main university. Wanted to thank me for, on behalf of his classmates, for taking time out to give them all these lectures. And that he noticed, speaking for everybody now, that I really want them to understand. That I work hard to make sure that they get the point, they understand the subject. That the only problem that sometimes I don't realize that the gap between me and them is quite wide, so I'm kind of impatient with them. I told him that that is not true. I told him I agree with the impatience side, but it's not because of the gap. It's because you don't, like now, getting to class on time. What is the gap between you and me in that one? You know, stuff like that. You know? So he went on and on, and he said things that would make you laugh. He said, "Oga, and the way you dress, ah, sir, is an inspiration." The man was talking and talking. It got to a point. I said, "Wait, last captain, for this amount of healing," I said, "please, I hereby schedule revision classes." I said, I hereby schedule revision classes. In fact, we are going to revise this whole subject before the exam. I said, "Can you just heal me like this and I'll just leave this class like that? That's not good." Now, I'm trying to make an issue. Now, it may sound like, okay, praise God to your head, but that's not the issue. But the thing that really hit me there was that I said, "Oh, so these guys are really interested in learning and they appreciate the fact that somebody is trying to teach them." I said, I told the guy straight, "Last captain," he said, "Yes, sir. Revision classes are hereby scheduled." And of course, immediately they started clapping. They were very, very happy because of that. But the point I'm making is that I was surprised, actually, all right? Before I tell you the point I was making, I was actually surprised. I thought someone was like, "This guy is just too hard. Leave him. What is it? Thank God the lectures are over." No, the response I got was a surprise to me. And that instantly changed my disposition. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? All right. Now, this is the point I'm trying to make, all right? Let's get back to dealing with the Lord now, bonding with the Lord. I was talking about that. You see, God doesn't move. Did I hear an amen? It doesn't shift. If you are reconciled to God, you are the one that came back. He didn't go anywhere. He did not change his mind. You are the one that moved, all right? And then you have moved back from where you were. You understand what I'm saying? Uh-huh. Now, in the same manner, if you are talking to the Lord, it draws you closer to him, but it doesn't draw him closer to you, really. You are the one that's shifting closer. The more you speak those things to him, all right, the more his spirit flows. You know, you read that book, Great Faith Can Be Yours. I explain in the book that great faith is an impartation of the spirit. It's not a determination of the heart of a man. No. It's an impartation of the spirit. So you see, the more you commune with God like that, the more his spirit flows into you and strengthens you into great faith, if necessary. Do you get my point? Listen, just like God, a man doesn't like whining. God too doesn't like people who whine. Murmurers, you know what happened? They perish in the wilderness. Having problems is not an issue. Murmuring about it, the Lord doesn't like it. Because if you want to talk about problems, those Israelites had problems. Look, listen, carry your wife, your children, and all the property you have. You go into the wilderness for a full day's journey, no food, no water. You don't think that's a problem? It is a problem. If ordinary armed robber shoot busa behind your house, you know, say you get a problem. How much more when a whole Egyptian army, they are following up and you can see the dust being raised by the hooves of their horses behind you, and in front you can't go anywhere. Is that not a problem? But despite all of this, they murmured, they died. Despite all of this, they murmured and they died. We know it's a problem, but God is saying problems is no justification for murmuring. Ken Hagin said something which I think every Christian should hear. He said when he had the vision of the Lord and he prayed and told God that he didn't want his wife to die because he had this feeling that she was going to die. And the Lord confirmed that she indeed was going to die. And so when he prayed, he had been praying for her. And that day the Lord just said, "Tell your wife to be operated upon. She will live and she will not die." And because of Jesus, the Lord said to him that the only reason why she's not going to die is because you asked me. Not because she repented or something, or I changed my mind about anything. Just because you asked. And he said to him that, I've got the words he used, but that there are so many great things he would like to do for his children if only they will ask. But this is where I'm going. But they don't ask, they only complain. They don't ask in faith. What do? They complain. They come murmuring. And this is how you know you are murmuring. Lord, this is the 50th year I've been believing you. This is the 50th year. In that process, Amaka has done this. In that process, Emeka has done this. During that time, that is called what? Murmuring. When you start pointing, this person has done this, this person has done this, this person has done this. Am I not your child? Arise, oh Lord, and let your enemy be scattered. Care. You know, that is murmuring. That is murmuring. That is one common murmur. And listen to me, it will destroy somebody. It will destroy the person that engages in it. But let me not even sit on how to pray. I make requests now, but just to drop it. If you want something, ask about it and relax there. In due season, it will come. You hear what I said? I said what? In due season. Let me just leave that one there. But what am I emphasizing on? It's in talking to the Lord. It's not always about our problems, what we want, what the issues are. Sometimes, in fact, oftentimes, all right, it should be more often than not. It should just be, yes, let me take time out and just start telling God what He is to me. Let me just start telling Him what He is to me, what I understand Him to be. No, you know, good big English is good, though. Jehovah Shekinah. But I think that's actually a joke. You don't speak Hebrew. Yeah, really, you don't speak Hebrew. What is Shekinah? If I came and told you Jehovah Shushu Gamuchi, you wouldn't know what it means. You wouldn't know Shushu Gamuchi is the name of a bacterium or something like that. And we'll go home and be worshiping God in the name of Jehovah Shushu Gamuchi. They wouldn't know that the pastor who said he was drunk when he said it. Say things that don't have meaning to you. No, that's not what we're talking about. Listen, if you say things that don't have meaning, even though you are quoting the scriptures, he doesn't hear it. God that dwells in light unapproachable, we say, do you know the light that can be approached? It's a scriptural quote, but let's be honest. Do you know the light that can be approached? Have you ever seen light that cannot be approached? You don't know the difference. It's better to say that God that can dwell in the midst of the burning fire. That one is better because you've seen fire before. And you know no human being can dwell inside there. Forget big words. It's to just say simple things. Father, I worship you. You are the reason why I was not queuing at the embassy when everybody was queuing at the embassy. Do you know that's a very powerful quotation? Yes. My confidence is in you, O God. Yesterday when they said, who do you know? Lord, remember I laughed. He said, you are God, my laughter. You know the word Isaac. What is it? Laughter. When everybody was saying, last time the doctor said that this will happen, that will happen to me. You know, I smiled at him. He didn't know why I was smiling. Because as he was talking, the thoughts that were coming through my mind were himself took my infirmities and my diseases. And by his stripes, I have been healed. Lord, I thank you because indeed you are my reason for smiling. All this big English you quote in prayer is a waste of your time. And God's time. Please, I hope you heard what I'm saying. Listen, it is the truth I have told you. Go and recite all those powerful words that you heard CDGX say on television. You are getting what I'm saying? It's a waste of time. Why? It's not drawing you closer to God because it has no meaning to you. It doesn't have any meaning. Listen, this is how you will bond with the Lord. That's what I'm talking about. That's why I said by reading that scripture. Said, my heart overflows with a good thing. For that reason, what do? I address my verses to the king. I address my words to the Lord. Are you getting my point? Yes, there are times we go out and declare his goodness. But there are times we just turn to him and say, Lord, you are good. Lord, you are good. You know, yesterday night, I was listening to Phil Driscoll. And that man is a specialist in leading that kind of song. I mean, if you listen to Phil Driscoll, it will help you. That's where songs are good. I know I was telling you, use your devices. There are different kinds. You know, some people say that they are listening to Christian music. Some of the music, I don't know what they are saying. All my enemies don't die. Praise God. This. songs are magnifying the deaths of the enemies. I don't know. It's not. They are not good songs. They are not good songs. All right. You have songs that talk. Do you understand? Songs that you can sing, and you are addressing your verses to the king. Are you getting my point? That's one important part of prayer. I believe, you know, like, don't forget what we say. We come here to do what? To learn to pray. We learn how to pray. We form new habits. We form new habits. It's good to commit your days unto the Lord, but there are times you wake up in the morning, forget the day for once. Just remember the Lord alone that day. Do you understand my point? Let me say it again. No? These are the proper things to do, not because of what we are going to get. There were men who were being beheaded for the gospel's sake, and the last thing they did was to worship God for his good and his mercies endure forever. Are you getting my point? Yes. I'm not teaching you a method of how to... How long have you been asking God for that job? Are you praising him yet? You never praise him. Now be the thing now. Give him like 2 minutes of praise. That won't go work. If you want a bigger job, make the praise like 2 hours. If you want a stupendous, crazy job, a full day. That is not the point. We are talking about deeply appreciating God, because that was why you were created. Remember how we started? Why did God create man? It is the same reason why he created the woman for Adam. And that's why he created the man for himself. Mankind, every one of us. That's why God created us for himself. The Bible says that, I like the way King James says, they say we're created for his pleasure. Thou hast created all things for thy pleasure, and for thy pleasure they are. How does it go again? Anyway, for thy pleasure they are, and they were created. You understand? And that's very important. That is the reason why God made you. And I believe very strongly. In fact, in Christ Jesus, one of the things he's doing, all right, is to build us up to the point where we really appreciate him. One thing Ben Hinn said once, he came to Benin to teach in Archbishop of the Osas Church. So all of us left school that time and went to go and listen to Ben Hinn. You know, these days, I don't know what young men go to go and look. Or if they hear, say, Ronaldo, come down now. Even Christians will go there. Even Christians will go there. It's a sign of backsliding. No, men are backsliding. I mean, they are backsliding. Really. You know, I mean, Ronaldo comes to town. What's my business? Anyway, that day, Ben Hinn came to Nigeria. And my father. It was great. He and Archbishop Idahosa went around, did some crusades. Anyway, he was coming to teach in Benin, in the church on Sunday. All of us left school, of course, and ran down to Church of God Mission to go and see Ben Hinn. Oh, my father. It was like, that is just this Ben Hinn. Praise God, Lord. Thank you. No, we made sure we got beautiful seats so we could see Ben Hinn. And that he ministered in an Agbada. You know, they wore him Nigerian Agbada. Anyway, one of the things he said is that this is how it is, that you see, we're talking, referring to Revelations, that those elders and those living creatures, they will shout, holy, holy, holy. He said, what used to happen is that every time they see another aspect of God, they will have no choice but to declare holy. Then God will reveal to them another aspect of himself, and then they will open their mouths again and shout what? Holy. And let me challenge you again. Anytime you discover one part of God, also lift up your head, open your mouth and shout what? Holy. Very important. It's not just the words. You know, you understand my point? It's that thing behind it that caused you to open your mouth to shout. That is what is really resounding. But very importantly, you must respond. You get my point? You must respond. When you hear it, maybe you come for Bible study or buy a book, you get a tape, and suddenly you understand something about God, maybe concerning your life. You get back home and you kneel down and shout what? Holy. Listen, that is when the Bible says God is fearful in praises. It is not because he is not changing. You are finally opening the door and allowing him to manifest himself. I hope you've gotten my point today. I hope you've gotten my point. My time is really gone. Well, not too bad. It's not so bad. All right, the Lord is good? The Lord is good. Can we just bow? Let us rise to our feet, all right? We are closing now. We are closing now in the next few minutes. The Lord is good. Just for a minute or two, can we just bow our heads? Let's just begin to speak to the Lord. Say, just call him by the name you know you should hear from your mouth. You are the one that preserves my life. Lord, I acknowledge you. Simple things. You are my provider. You are my healer. You are my strength. You are my defender. You are my protection. In the times of trouble, you are the one that watches over me. My life is in you. Without you, I can do nothing. You are the strength for me to walk into destiny. You are the destiny of my life. You are the one that prepared me, formed this body for me, so that I can do your purpose. You are the one that owns me. You are the one I serve. You are my king. You are my lord. You are my master. You are the one I fear. You are the one I love to please. You are the one that made me for your pleasure. You are the one that created the purpose for my life. Just speak to him. You are the one that holds my days. You are the one that holds my life. Lord, I acknowledge you as my God. I acknowledge you as my King. Jesus, I thank you for coming to die for me. I say you came to die for me and I appreciate it. You are the one I'm looking up to. My eyes are fixed on you. I'm being made into your very image. Let us use words and speak to the Lord. And these are the kind of words you wake up in the morning and you will declare. Say, Lord, you are holy. There is none like you. There is none like you. Amongst all the gods, there is none like you. You are the one that controls the events of this earth. You rule in the affairs of mankind. You change seasons. You know, sometimes people will be talking, about political issues. Who's going to become what? Who's not going to become what? People are strategizing. Anytime they are saying, we had a discussion like that in my office today. I said, they should forget. God is still in charge. Say, Lord, you are the one that's in charge. Lord, you are the master. You are the father. You are the ruler. You are the president. You are everything. You are the judge. And we worship you. And Lord, we worship you. And Lord, we worship you. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name we are prayed. Surely goodness and mercies will follow you all the days of your life, and you will dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. Cheer up, brethren.